All right, we are joined in studio now by Donegal native Declan McClafferty, better known as Ramper. Good morning to you, Declan. Thanks for your time.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
How are you getting on?
Yeah, good.
Same as?
Well, busy, aye. In the family way these days, and it's, you know yourself.
It's a balance, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got the family stuff and all the usual stuff that goes with that, and then you've got the creative side as well. And I suppose maybe you can draw some inspiration from one for the other as well.
Absolutely, aye. It is, you learn a lot about yourself now, I'm finding, and it's great, but it's definitely a challenge. Mm. I think it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
It's not over yet.
No, I know. I know. Who are you telling?
Come here, talk to me about Ramper and performing under the name Ramper.
Ramper, we just kind of started a new project just by myself, kind of through the pandemic. Obviously, we played within their thousands for years, and that kind of... has, you know, we've kind of stopped that now. Kind of everybody had families and kids, and you know, that was the way it went. And then just had a load of songs and just wanted to do something, started something new, and you have to call it something, I suppose. But Ramper is there's a wee road in Dewey where I'm from in Downings called An Ramper, and I spent a load of my life on it and learned to walk on it, I suppose, probably learned to drive on it. And it was, I just always liked it. I always thought it was a good name for a project.
Was it like the sort of the ever-present in all your seemingly significant moments in life?
Yeah, but it's not even 100 yards long. It's just a wee stretch of road goes down along the beach there. But it was just obvious, it was just a big thing, and everything happened down the Ramper. Like, when I was like a teenager, no signal in the house, but you could go down the Ramper and you could connect with people, you know. So it just kind of made sense on a few levels. So that was it. Started writing under that moniker and made an album, and just did it all in the house with... I had a guitar, had a couple of guitars. I had a piano. I'm a terrible piano player. I'm very bad at the piano, but...
But you're embracing that though, aren't you?
I am.
In the music, like.
Yeah, I mean, kind of when you get a bit older, you realise that not everything's just perfect all the time. Like, and I think it's important as an artist too to recognise that if things are a bit bad sometimes, that's okay, you know?
Yeah, and to your average ear, they probably won't pick that up, but it's obviously as a musician... you see that in your near self. It's kind of, well, we hope they don't. It's kind of fitting too that we're talking to you on Love Donegal Day and this big push to get the Donegal message out, because you're very proud of where you're from, your county, but you're very proud of, you know, more specifically where you're from, and even drawing the name from your front door, effectively.
We've all, like, over the years and whatever we've been doing, we've always been proud to say that we're from Donegal, and to go... unfortunately, if you live in the Northwest and you're interested in the kind of music that, you know, this is like an alternative folk thing. It's not like, it's not a mainstream pop music. This is what we're making. We're not, you know, going out filling dance halls for jives, you know. It's a different kind of thing. And we understand, you know, or I understand that you have to go somewhere else, you know. The market is not necessarily right here in Donegal, like. But that doesn't mean that everywhere that we go, we kind of say, you know, you should definitely go there. I remember going to Germany. First time we went to Germany, you know, you'd be meeting people. They were asking, where are you from? And, you know, they took a real interest in what we were about and this kind of thing. And I remember saying, like, you should go sometime. But they take everything literally. And they're like, you should come. And they did. Like, I remember Dara in the Beach Hotel, my cousin, ringing saying there's a camper van after pulling in, and they're staying here, and they came all the way from Germany to Downings in County Donegal because they seen us playing music in Germany.
Yeah, because that's, it's authentic and it's from an area and there's a connection there as well.
Yeah.
Are you nostalgic, if you know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, your upbringing now, as much as we try, because, you know, we've both got children around about the same age, there was sort of an innocence and a freedom. That's how I feel my childhood was, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you've got your Ramper, I've got my own, you know, as you were describing that, I've got my own space, if you know what I mean, if that makes sense. And I try, I would try, we try, you know, to sort of children, toddlers, 3, 4, 5 now, that they have those experiences, but it's getting increasingly different. Is that something that you think about in your head about your upbringing and that maybe elements of it that were simple? Travelling for a signal, we've all done that. Others, for other people a bit older than you, perhaps it was walking to a phone box to ring their first girlfriend, whatever it might be, right? Yeah. I don't know if that was better. It feels better. But do you think about that, your childhood? And then, I suppose, and this is not being personal, will be general, you know, the type of childhood we try and give our children now.
I've definitely thought about that a lot. Like, growing up in Donegal for me was, like, I grew up in Dewey, like, I was surrounded by, like, the older generation. Most of my neighbours were in their 70s and 80s. And now I'm kind of, even with the Ramper thing, to bring it back into the music, like, I'm thinking about those lives and the way that they lived and the way they experienced Donegal compared to, like, the burst of the internet. And I kind of feel like having seen the first thing, you know, the older generation, that hardy, like, you know, no shop, no food, go and catch your food in the sea, like, that's what, you know, that's how they lived.
Yeah.
To bring it forward now to, like, the internet and TikTok and stuff.
Yeah. And you know, just close to where you have, is this just out a wee bit from the coach, from the coast, there is just a little bit of concrete there that's been laid.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I presume.
Yeah.
But that, the people you talk of, I would imagine, stood on that at one time. To yeah. catch the food that you talk
about. Totally, yeah.
You know, the one thing about, Justin, for people outside of the area who haven't been there, the thing about, I find about when I drive through Dewey is you, I'm not a particularly artistic type of person or what have you, but the way it's laid out still, you can almost cast your mind back as to how it would have been
yeah.
80 years ago. How the houses face each other and the size of them and all that kind of stuff, yeah. or, you know, what that would have been like as a community.
It was a mad place. Like, in a way, nothing happened there. You know what I mean? But it was...
But he's set out like a village.
Yeah.
You know, it's set out like a small village.
Yeah, it was just like, I suppose, the English would call it a hamlet of houses. Like, just... But the road goes down through the middle of it and it's all centred around the beach and... Yeah, I did. I'm very much... Like, I spend a lot of time there and take the kids there a lot and, as you say, let them off the hook and just try and let them roam, you know?
And scrape their knees.
Aye, and fall, and
It is
get sand in their eyes. And
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know.
If you want a good dream, is the track we're going to hear in a bit. What's this about?
It's earthy. I kind of think that I'm a bit funny. Like, as you say, you brought up nostalgia. I think it's weird. Not weird that you did it, but... Like, I am very nostalgic. Lyrically, I'm always going back and drawing from the kind of the past thing. But I'm always trying to boot it forwards into the future, you know? Like, trying... I think when I was writing a lot of the project, I realised in Ireland, a lot of things about our culture were bad, and we're dealing with a lot of that now. But there was a lot of... You know, there was some very beautiful things and some good things in there too. And it's, for me, I'm trying to kind of keep those... Mm-hmm. You know, and hold on to them, bring them forward, bring the language forward, things like that. And even like the things just like being earthy and digging and planting your own food and stuff like that, and how good that is for you as a person and for your mental health and stuff. And then with the music, then I just try to make it modern or push out the way, you know. So
we do have a choice at how we live our lives. We can live it at breakneck speed. We can be stressed all the time. You know, we can just buy everything that we need. That is a choice too of how you want to function in society, because you can also take a step to one side out of the fast lane and still participate in society and do your job and all that kind of stuff, but live a less stressful life. Yeah. It is a choice.
It is a choice.
Like everything that we're talking of and the things that you are being nostalgic for, a lot of it is, it's just about disconnecting from your TV or your mobile devices. We're not obliged to do that. You can step out of that world if you wish.
You can. But it's
becoming increasingly difficult.
It's very difficult to do that. Like, you're under a lot of pressure. I don't know if people realise how much pressure they're under from social media and things. And people will do a lot of stuff that they maybe don't want to do just to get a few likes or follows or metrics. You know,
look,
numbers,
I've had a couple of drinks. I took my top off. What's the big deal?
Not again, Greg. Not again.
Yeah, no, I do know what you're saying. And you know, also, too, I think, as you reflect, and you're quite right in that, I think the majority of, you know, we had a very tough history in this country, and there's been dark times, and I think I know what you're referencing. But for the majority, you know, it wasn't like that. But that's still the same now. And I'm really conscious that I'm doing a show like this in that, say, for instance, you talk about someone's had a bad experience in a hospital or whatever. That often doesn't feel the space or the time to talk of the amazing gift of life that's been given to so many others at the same time, right? So it's hard to sort of maybe make sure that no one's left behind, but then you also have to find space to celebrate the positives that's there. And that's what Love Donegal is about. I mean, this is the most amazing county for all of its faults, and we hope the majority of people are happy enough to enjoy that. So, you know, we're still, it's almost like history repeating itself in that we can't forget what's good now.
I am a melancholic character from times. I can't help myself, but 37 long winters on the northwest coast will do that to you.
Yeah, but you talk like it's been 85.
I know.
So in terms of, I mean, you, there's been never more of an opportunity now for artists to create music and to get it out there. And you don't necessarily, I mean, it's great if you get coverage and airplay and all that kind of stuff, but it's not essential now. And unfortunately, I think an awful lot of, you know, platforms are reactive now. They'll jump on a bandwagon rather than, you know, get that bandwagon rolling in the first place. But what are your plans for your work now as Ramper? I know you've got the album, you're releasing singles, you talked of travelling in the past to Germany. What is the plan? I mean, obviously your time's different now, but you still want to get out there as much as you can.
Yeah, it's harder now, there's a juggling thing. But a single coming out now. Next week, I'm playing an interesting festival in Dublin called Ireland Music Week. The crack with that is they take 50 acts from Ireland, they kind of handpick them, and they describe them as what they deem to be the best 50 export-ready music acts in the country. Wow. So that's a really cool thing. They take in a load of industry.
Is the industry represented? Answering the question I was about to ask. Go ahead.
So that's what it is. So they gather up the artists, they also gather up industry, from booking agents to management to label representatives at different, there's some huge companies coming and there's some smaller kind of more independent.
But from different markets as well. So you could have a Dutch music label there's a lot of your...
Yeah, the delegates are online. There's actually somebody from Ukraine coming, Music Ukraine. There's people from the Baltic countries, Latvia. There's a few Indian, there's an Indian delegation, you know, so they're all, and there's a lot of these festivals that happen around South by Southwest in America is probably the most famous of them. Then you have Reeperbahn in Germany and Eurosonic in Holland. All these people are there. And it's a very cool thing. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to it. But most of the week will be spent sitting down. You have 5 minutes with people, and then you move on to the next desk, and you just chat.
Would you have done that 5 years ago?
Never. We never did that.
Why now? Would you have done it?
Of course we would have done it. It just never got selected for it, you know.
Excellent, okay. So it's just the right thing at the right time, then.
It's hard to get a slot at it. I think there was maybe 1,000 applications for it, you know.
Fantastic.
So
how many songs are you going to perform on it?
You do. Everybody gets a 30-minute showcase.
Effectively.
And it's in 3 venues in Dublin, so you have your set.
Exciting. I can't wait to find out how that goes for you.
Yeah, it should be cool.
It's not necessarily immediate, too. These connections can play out months down the line.
Music is a funny world to be in, because it could happen, like you say, with social media, something could happen. You should just go up like a balloon, shoot up, or nothing could happen. And you kind of don't really know. Music is, it's mad. You have to be kind of mad to be in music.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same with this job. Well, you don't have to be, but it helps.
Yeah. Well,
so if you want a good dream, we're going to listen to this now. You say, well, we know it's out Friday, 27th September.
Yeah.
And you've a busy couple of days. Well, best of luck with that trip down to Dublin.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting. And I think, too, it's just interesting to talk to the artists because sometimes then I find anyway, you listen to music in a different context. Reminds me a little bit about, and you're a million miles away from George Michael. Never a big fan of his music.
Yeah.
But I watched the documentary on him, mm-hmm. and I've just listened to his music in a different way now, and I found some of it
context
I enjoyed.
It's so but much
beforehand,
of a context,
it was just like noise
it?
I didn't like. But then once I understand him and his story a bit, what a random example. But all of a sudden it gave some context to everything.
Yeah, but it's sometimes if you listen to music kind of cold without knowing anything about the humans involved in it, there has to be a big human element in it. And I think once you get that, then you start to make connection.
Any gigs coming up locally?
Not
do you
really.
Pop up? You can kind of pop up anywhere.
I do.
Really,
I could be playing just... I don't really book too far ahead. Yeah, yeah. People just ring and say, we've got no music, can you come? Yeah, kind of thing. And it always seems to happen, so I kind of do that. So I don't really know where I'm going to be. And I like that. But I spend most of my time really... I've gone to Aaron Moore a lot. I spent a lot of the summer out with Martin Neely in Neely's bar there.
What is it that draws you to it? I don't know the phraseology for it, but is it the topography or whatever? But just speaking about Dewey again, and I said this not so long ago, you could be driving in Aaron Moore driving up to Dewey.
You could, yeah. They're very similar.
Incredibly similar rock formations and the all that kind of stuff. Is that it?
I like going there. I love boats, anything that involves a boat, I'm there, it's good.
Have you been on your cousin's boat yet?
Huh?
Have you been on your cousin's boat yet?
No, I have more sense. I have more sense. Anything with an engine and Dara, I'm out. Even a lawnmower, I wouldn't trust him with a lawnmower. But man.
You're taking good advice there, stick with oars.
I don't know.
All right, then. Listen.
Too far for that.
The best of luck with the single.
Right, thank you very
if
much.
You want a good dream, it's from Ramper. In my notes, it says Donegal native Declan McClafferty, better known as Ramper. But in, our neck of the woods, it's probably Ramper, better known as Declan McClafferty. But hey, this is a national, international race we have.
This is the crack.
All right, then, here it is. This is If You Want the Dream. Declan, thanks very much. Best of luck with that competition in, not competition, that showcase.
Yeah, yeah.
That showcase in Dublin. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, should be good. Thanks, Greg.
Waiting on the hour before it gets dark to love, and the change I feel come. I need to feel the soil these days, or it gets to me. I need to see my work when I'm done. When it's over, I just wanna start over and do it again. Keep my mind from thinking about it when it's over. Don't take me so seriously if you want a good dream. I've buried mine in the land. You still chase the fables, but there's just not enough time to lose. I'm like a painter who never knows when they're done. And everybody's seen this one before. Watch it again. this time don't forget. When it's over, I just wanna start over and do it again. Keep my mind from thinking about it when it's over. Don't take me so seriously if you want a good dream. I've buried mine in the
A big thanks once again to Ramp, a.k.a. Declan, for calling in. Declan McLafferty for a chat. It's very much appreciated. And best wishes, says a listener, to Declan McLafferty, who's coming on your show shortly. Thanks, Kathleen, from Kathleen in Remelton. Good to have you on board listening. Patricia, good morning to you. Thanks for your nice comments on socials. Charlie, good to have you back in God's country. The two listening to us at 3 a.m. in Canada, or watching us actually on YouTube. Good to have you on board as well. Audrey's there. Good morning, Audrey. Mike, Rosemary, Darren, and Annie. Some new faces, some regular faces watching our live stream. Just to remind you, you can watch the show every day, every morning between 9 and 12 on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick on the YouTube app there, or any device that has the YouTube app. And we're also across Facebook. And just to remind you as well that we, as always, try and endeavour to make it as easy for you as possible to get any information that we might have here at Highland Radio, which includes the obituary notices, which is a very important service that we provide here. We broadcast them on air, as you know. We have them on our website as well, but they're also now available on our Facebook page, Highland Radio News, Sport and Obituary Notices, and that is where they are posted as well. And it's an opportunity to, I suppose, and many people do now, maybe to say something nice about a deceased loved one or friend, and you can do that on our social media page as well. Greg, in relation to the NCT appointment, I booked online after 12 o'clock on Saturday night past and got an appointment for Tuesday. They must update the system at the time, otherwise I was going to have to wait until December. Just to let your listener know that, if you don't mind, thanks. I've mentioned this time and time again on the show, and glad another listener has reminded me. They do reset the system with cancellations or what have you, or slots becoming available. It's after 12 o'clock every night. Get on. Give them a ring, or book online, sorry, just after 12, and you are very likely to get a more favourable NCT booking appointment. In relation to the story about littering at Navaney, I was at a concert in Dublin over the summer and we were on a bus from Malahide to the city centre. It was not a bus affiliated with Donegal, but a girl from Mayo was talking about football in the state of Navaney Street when she used to come up for matches. She said in order to enjoy Donegal, you must continue to go north and skip Ballybuffet, the biggest kip in Ireland. Well, we know that's not the case, and we know that that's just one person's commentary on a bus. But I think what that's in relation to is around about the times where there's lots of people, a lot of football matches or what have you, there can be quite a bit of litter. We had a local councillor calling for more litter bins. Ultimately, though, the responsibility rests with us, you know. We don't have to dump stuff on the street. When is the nighttime works to begin on Ballybuffet and Stranorlar Bridge? I thought it was supposed to be Monday night past. Well, it begins on Monday, September 23rd. The road works are expected to last 2 weeks, and the works, we're told, will take place at night between 8 p.m. and 7 a.m. There might be some proprietary work that's done ahead of that. Maybe that's why you didn't see much. Greg, it looks like the Chrysler tragedy is going the same route as the Stardust tragedy. I wouldn't say that's the case. And I think really what's happening now is that they're trying to avoid that happening. And I presume they want any investigation or any inquiry to happen while everything is still fresh in people's minds. It will eventually happen. It's the timing of it. And now we have a solicitor instructed by families of 8 of the 10 people that very tragically passed away now representing them, those 8 families, seeking that inquiry. And there seems to be some divergence in government in that the Tarnisher believes it should happen, maybe. He was non-committal in that regard, but maybe the timing's not right now. And we heard from our solicitor friend Dara suggested a little earlier on that maybe the Taoiseach might be more open to that.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Okay, Wednesday morning, which means it's time to catch up on some business news and look forward to the Business Matters podcast from Highland Radio. And its presenter is Chris Ashmore. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get on to the podcast in a moment, but catch us up with some news. Business awards season, what's happening?
Yeah, just a few things to mention. The Small Firms Association's National Small Business Awards for this year, they've been officially launched. The awards patron is none other than the Taoiseach, Simon Harris. It's the 21st year of these awards, €50,000 worth of prize money. And so local firms encouraged to enter that. More details on the small firms website. And just staying with awards, we mentioned on the show before the Ballybuffet and Stranorlar Chamber of Commerce. They're having their first awards night. It's been a great success. Huge
response. Have they had it yet?
No, it's on October the 5th. Such was the demand for tickets, they changed the venue. It's now being held in Jackson's Hotel. And all the nominees and the details, you can see that on their Facebook page. So it's the inaugural version of them. And community awards as well for volunteering and sports and all sorts of things. So well done to them. Seems to have been a very good move indeed.
Yeah, we wish them the best of luck with that. A rebranding, a firm, Donegal, well-known firm rebranding?
Yes. Now, Donegal firm Accountant Online was set up by Donegal woman Larissa Feeney. It's been rebranded as Kinnor, and tomorrow in Dublin, as part of the rebranding, they're having a big function in the Conrad Hotel, followed by an opportunity for guests to go and see the RTE Concert Orchestra in the National Concert Hall. So, that'll be a nice evening.
Right, so we know the situation with the Irish economy, whether it trickled down, whether people feel it trickles down or not. It is a strong economy. We're getting a good giveaway budget, as some would see it, in Britain. They're avoiding austerity, but very different, cutting back on fuel allowances and what have you, and things are uncertain there. They're in an uncertain period of time. And then somewhere in the middle, the Northern Ireland economy. What's the situation with it at the moment?
Yes, a report out this week, Ernst & Young, and they are essentially saying that things are looking up in the north. They admit it was a challenging 2023. The economy has fared better this year, and it is forecasting growth next year by 1.8%. and a small increase in employment by about 0.7%.
Well, anytime there's employment growth, it has to be welcomed. And some figures on struggling businesses, I suppose you could call them, in Q3.
Yes, the number of corporate insolvencies, so sadly going to the wall, 238 in the third quarter of 2024. That's up on the previous year. But there's a lot of businesses coming and going all the time. So again, it's a little like the election poll. It's a snapshot.
Would they catch the likes of pubs and restaurants and cafes closing? Would they fall under the corporate insolvencies banner, I wonder?
I do not know for sure. And you mentioned there, certainly the restaurant sector, and we've heard a lot about restaurants closing, but there's also ones opening all the time, so that there's a big turnover. Yeah.
A date for the diary, October 17th.
Yes, the National Women's Enterprise Day is on October the 17th, and the Donegal Local Enterprise Office will have a range of speakers and specialists for an event being held in Loch Ness Castle. You can get more details on that on the LEO, that's the Local Enterprise Office, website.
All right, now let's move on to what's coming up on this week's podcast. A name familiar to many in the communications world and beyond, Trish Hegarty.
Yes, now she worked as a journalist with the Irish Times, RTE and BBC Radio Foyle before setting up her PR, social media and digital content agency. It's Innes Communications, and she's celebrating 20 years, 2004 it all began, and appropriately, given the today is Love Donegal Day, in the programme, she was a major player in the promotion of the whole Love Donegal campaign, Love Donegal Day. And she also has a PR toolkit for small businesses, which she has developed, and had great reaction to that. And in this clip, well, she essentially explains just what her business is all about.
Putting it in its simplest terms, I help you promote your business or your organisation to the widest possible audience in the best possible way. So we will work with a client to take a strategic approach to marketing their business to make sure that it reflects what their business goals and aims are, because sometimes you could be wasting your time to promote something if you're not really quite clear what it is you want to change. Do you want more people on your website? Do you want more business on your website? Do you want more people crossing your door? Do you want to expand in all areas or certain areas? What's going to give you the greatest profits? What's going to work the best for your business? So there's a lot involved. It's not a one size fits all. And we basically customize our approach to every client. We have a reputation for really good quality work and for delivering great results. And that's something we're very proud of. I'm very proud of having achieved that and still being here, still standing 20 years later and still growing.
And based in Innes Sean.
Yeah. You sound surprised.
Well, it was a big, you know, when she set up, it was a big move at the time. She didn't know, obviously, how things were going to go.
Anytime you're in business expanded. For 20 years, it's remarkable, yeah, I think, regardless of what the business is. Right, okay. The full interview there. Anything else you want to add to that, Chris?
Yes, well, that's obviously on the podcast now, online, and on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news. Just a couple of other events to look out for, Greg. Tomorrow, September the 26th, the Disrupt by the Sea 2024 is taking place. Now, this is known as a live audience Shark Tank event, a little bit like Dragon's Den. A number of people will be pitching to a panel of CEOs from the United States who have money to invest in projects that they think have real potential. So it's taking place down in McDade's Yard, down in Remelton.
Wow.
And you go and pitch your business proposition to them. Sean McVeigh from Letterkenny, he won it last year, and there's €10,000 for that. And look, it could be a great launch pad to better things. And the audience.
Is it open, or, yeah, or if they identified?
The audience can go along, and there's audience participation, and the audience also have a say in the vote. So look, if you're about 11:30, just down there at McDade's Football Special Yard, adjacent to the Blue Goat, it's on tomorrow, and a little bit of fun. There'll be refreshments, and you can also network with people. And
sure.
It's a really good idea.
Interesting
and
thing.
One other thing to mention, Greg, if you fancy having a couple of beers this weekend, many people may know of Oktoberfest in Germany. Well, Kinniger Brewing here in Donegal, they're having their own version this Friday and Saturday. Kinniger Brewing They manufacture their beer in Ballyrain here in Letterkenny. So you can go down, see the whole plant down there. There's food with, it's all very much German themed, with pretzels and
sausages,
candied almonds and smoked half-cooked chicken with German red cabbage and fries. And they will have four authentic German beers there. There's live music. So just go to Kinniger Brewing on the Facebook page, find out much more about that. And it looks like a bit of real fun and crack.
Looks like a few people will be backing out of Sober October. All right, then. Listen, Chris, thanks very much indeed. And just to recap, Chris Ashmore, the presenter of the Business Matters podcast. You can hear much more of his interview with his guest this week. And that, of course, is... that, of course, is Trish. I can't believe I can't remember her name. Her name's gone out of my head and it's back. Trish Hegarty from Innes Communications. That's available for you to listen to right now. We'll stream or download on our website, highlandradio.com. It's broadcast after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday, Chris. And, of course, always lines of communications open to you.
Yeah, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. And, Greg, I hope the rest of your week is a very profitable one.
Indeed, hopefully. And it can be profitable if you shop around, because we were talking about car insurance and I relent sometimes because I don't want to sound like a scratched record. But this listener says, my car insurance was €1,400 last year. My son was a named driver. We got the renewal quote, €1,800. So it went up €400. They said, right, enough of this. I'm going to shop around. So they did shop around and eventually got a quote for €620. They say sometimes the broker is what makes the difference. I've stopped brand loyalty and it's saving me money. That's some difference. Chris, there's so much money to be saved with that type of stuff. Now, sometimes you can be stuck for different reasons and the quote you get from your current provider is the cheapest, but 9 times out of 10 you can get it cheaper. I'm at pains to point out for people, I was talking last week on the show about chatting to a few fellas all locked into big contracts on mobile phones, 40 45 35, you can get now all your calls, all your texts, all your data for $12.99 with one company.
$12.99. Yeah, and no, get yourself
a mid-range phone off Amazon or wherever local shops, you know, for $299. Look at the amount of money you would save, you know. And that's just on those things. Electricity prices, broadband, change your broadband every year. And the good thing now, Chris, is there's no disruption in...
It's seamless.
So if you switch to GOMO or some of those other brands that are out there now, you schedule the SIM changeover for 3 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. You switch the SIMs going to bed. You wake up the next morning, you're on a new network.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's as simple as that. And often these smaller networks are piggybacking the bigger networks.
Yeah, and so you get the same service. I changed my mobile several years back and went from paying well over 40
what are you
a,
paying
month,
a month now?
15, everything.
Good man.
And I just hit a little text once a month. I get a reminder, hit a button, and it's topped up instantly. And listen,
15 quid a month.
15 quid a month. Can't begrudge that. But on the car insurance, look, rule number one, never renew what comes through the first quote you get, because unfortunately people might leave it to the last minute and then there's a rush and you don't have time. But I have pretty much every year gone on, shopped around, invariably made a saving. And even when the company that you go to, normally you go back to them and say, can you do better? And you say, I've got X, Y, and Z elsewhere. And invariably,
well, at that point,
sort of
at that
offer.
Point, I'm almost like stuff you.
Yeah,
you know, you're taking the clean hand out of me. Now, if you're a younger driver, and they're say, for instance, you know, you're going with one of these companies that has a black box or something, you might be a wee bit stuck there. But if you are, you know, over 25, or over 20, or whatever, you've got a decent clean driving record, you should be able to save money. But what happens is, I don't know if it's just me. You get the renewal. And it says if you don't do anything in 14 days or whatever, we'll just roll it on to the next. And then life gets, you know, something else comes up and on it goes. Which reminds me actually of something I want to mention. All right, Chris, listen, thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
I do very much appreciate your input. I'll be back with that thing I know what I need to mention after these. Now, there's a very special event coming up on October the 5th. It's a Saturday and it runs from 6:30 to 9 p.m. And it was mentioned on the show when we had the Bluestack Foundation Choir up singing for us. But the Bluestack Foundation are presenting, and I believe this is one of a kind, speed dating. It's followed by a disco. And it's all about enhancing the lives of people with additional needs. It takes place in the Jackson's Hotel in Bala Buffet. It is for over 18s. And the question simply is, are you looking for love? It's an opportunity to explore romantic connections in a safe, supportive setting. You do have to register, and you can register by using this email, progression@bluestackfoundation.com. Sorry, my eyes are playing up today. progression@bluestackfoundation.com. And it's a very special speed dating event followed by a disco, and it is for people with additional needs between 6:30 and 9 p.m. on Saturday, the 5th of October. Now, as we've mentioned on and off on the show, but really haven't dug into it, this issue in fairness, and it is concerns in the Ballyrane area of Letterkenny. Some residents are pleading with the council to rethink their decision to chop down a 90-year-old oak tree, and effectively it is to make way for a new cycle path. Brendan Ward joins us on the show now. Brendan, how are you getting on?
Good, Greg. Good morning to you.
This is the kind of thing we have to be really careful, Brendan. I said this before. We have one go at this and we have to make sure we're making right decision. Why do you believe chopping this tree down is the wrong decision?
Well, I read about it in the paper first a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and discovered that there was an 90-year-old, I think, oak tree to be cut down to make way for a cycle path. And then what set me off to write that post on Facebook was towards the end of last week, I listened to an advertisement on Highland Radio for Donegal County Council. And they finished off with a phrase or a statement, whatever you want to call it, saying, Donegal County Council, looking after your heritage and your culture. Now, if they're looking after our heritage and our culture, I don't think cutting down a 90-year-old oak tree is favourable, if you like.
Mm-hmm. So why are you opposed to it? Because I suppose the way the area is developed, it maybe some would say stands out like a sore thumb, but you probably aren't of that view. What is it about chopping this tree down that you're against?
Well, I don't think, I honestly believe that a tree of that standing is not an eyesore, shouldn't be an eyesore in anybody's mind. Something similar happened in England recently, where there was a beautiful, massive, very old tree growing in a sort of a little valley, and it was chopped down without any consultation. I know council maintained they had consultation, possibly had, I don't know that, so I can't say yes or no. But I think an old oak tree is something Irish that we should be looking after.
The irony that it's been chopped down to make way for a cycle path is it can't be ignored that we have a tree here, which I presume is assisting in, obviously it looks pretty, but it's assisting in, you know, purifying the air and all that type of stuff. It's been there for 90 years, not bothering anyone. And we're going to chop it down so people can go up and down there on their scooters. It seems a contradiction in terms.
It absolutely is, yeah. Because I know out around the area that I live in outside Remelton, the roads around here have old, dare I say, useless trees hanging over the road, half dead, and all that's holding them up is ivy.
Mm.
But the council are not rushing out to cut them down for safety. As far as I know, from all I've read and heard about that oak tree, I don't think it's a threat to anybody's safety.
All right, stay with me. Nuala Carr is a member of the Green Party in this county. Also opposed to the destruction of this tree, Nuala. I think I'm correct in saying so.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. I would hate to see this tree cut down. Even though I'm in favour of developing sustainable travel and active and a network of greenways in the county, but I think we shouldn't let our biodiversity suffer as a result of developing our active travel systems. I just think maybe this could be an example of the need for improvement in our public consultation in local authority development.
I think it also talks, Nuala, to our planning, right? Because, you know, we apparently can put people on the moon. Surely we can figure out a way to accommodate a cycle and footpath or whatever, a cycle path, and retain this beautiful tree that serves its purpose from a green perspective. It can't be beyond us. Why must it be the tree goes track there? There has to be some sort of innovative solution, a good PR exercise from the council to ensure that everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. I mean, I suppose it just goes back to the design and the planning of this greenway. I suppose maybe they're limited for space. But I'm just curious, maybe did the designers get out and walk the agreed route before they put in the plans, and did they know that the tree was going to have to go? These are things that maybe should be done if these developments are going to get done correctly.
There's some space to go around it. I think it would actually be quite cute. It might add to the experience. Let's see what Anna thinks. Hi, Anna.
Hello, Greg. Anna here. Yes. I think it would be a thundering disgrace to cut that tree down, a 90-year-old tree. I just think it would be an awful, awful shame altogether. And with regard to these cycle lanes and all that, okay, all right, the cycle lanes are all right, but these things that they build, you know, to house bicycles, I have yet to see a bicycle in one of those things yet.
Yeah, I do not understand what you're saying. There's not an awful lot of people seemingly out and about on these things.
Yeah.
But you are very No, it's okay, Anna, and I'll let you go because it's not great. But you are very opposed to the destruction of this tree.
Absolutely. Because for those who know the Derry Road and into Redcastle there's one there in a field at Redcastle Hotel. And it has people cut all around it, and it's so beautiful just when you're driving up or down the road just to look and see that huge big tree just in the middle of the field. It would be a thundering disgrace, you know, if anybody even thought about cutting that down. Right. So I understand how the people who are close to that tree feel.
Okay,
you know, I think it would be a thundering disgrace.
Thanks, Anna. You agree, Brendan? I mean, you know, it harks back a little bit, I suppose, to what Letterkenny was. We built around this tree. It didn't sprout up in the middle of the road either.
That's true.
All right, OK. Well, we'll see if common sense prevails. I do think we should definitely have full respect for all views, especially locals. You'd back that, Brendan. And Nuala, I'm sure you would as well.
Absolutely, Greg, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
I think we should try our best to keep it.
Let common sense prevail, as some would see it. Right, that's where we leave it on the show today. We're back with Thursday's show tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening and partaking and watching and all that jazz. Stay tuned. John Bresson's around the Northwest after the news at 12.